more about this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, we are going to be finishing up our Grace Under Fire series today. And next week, Palm Sunday, we will have a visit from the kids. We'll have the palm branches and all that fun stuff. But we also have some missionary speakers coming in. It's been a while since that kind of thing's happened. So that's really exciting. So make sure you're here next week as well. And we will be shared with about what's going on in the mission field in their area. So we'll finish up this series today. But just to kind of reminder and recap, we've talked about how we experience God's grace in our lives. And we've asked every week, but we've experienced that, right? How many of you have experienced God's grace in your life? You've felt that, right? And so we talked about being so thankful for that. And you can probably think of times where it's very easy to recognize God's grace, and there's probably some other times where it's difficult to recognize the grace and the mercy and the nearness and the goodness of God when we go through things like grief and sorrow and pain and loss and anything else that might cause us discomfort or any sort of throw a wrench in what we're trying to accomplish or how we're feeling. It's hard to feel the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God in those times. When things are painful, it is tough to feel God's goodness. All of us have or will encounter times like these in our lives. We've all gone through some time where things hurt or it's no fun or it's not easy. And sometimes we go through seasons where things are very easy and it seems like, you ever feel that way, like something bad might happen because it just feels too easy, right? We go through all these seasons, but we will all encounter times of pain and sorrow and suffering. And today, we're going to use this series as a reminder that God's grace gives us peace. So that is our theme this week. But before we get there, we'll recap the first two just to kind of put this all together in context here. So the first week was God's grace is with us. And we talked about three ways that God's grace is with us. And the first one is that it's with us even when we have questions. Even when we have questions, we live in the what if so much, or we live in doubt so many times as humans. It's hard not to doubt our existence and if we're enough and if we're going to measure up and what if it's scary or what if it's hard or what if it's painful, and we find ourselves being crippled by that. But through faith, we operate in the grace of God that will overcome our iniquities. So we have this grace that has been poured out on the cross that if we put our faith in that grace is going to cover whatever our shortcomings are. And so number two was that God is with us even when we don't, or God's grace is with us even when we don't believe. God gave two miracles. We talked about Moses meeting with God out in the wilderness and saying, I just don't know if I'm good enough. I can't speak very well. I don't know how what I'm going to do to get these people to listen or to even believe that you are meeting with me in the first place. And God gave Moses these miracles to take back and show to the Israelites. And the point was that God is giving miracles and constantly revealing himself in unlimited ways to us, not just through, he's not going to give each one of you a stick and then say, throw it down and it's going to be a snake and, show all your friends. That kind of thing, right? That's what he did for Moses, but he's not going to do that for all of us. But the point is that he is constantly revealing himself in unlimited ways, right? There's no, God's not bound just to Scripture to show us who he is. He gives us and he's working through different ways to show us and reveal us to us who he is. So even when you don't believe, God is revealing himself in ways that only he can. And then the third thing was that God's grace is with us even when we don't know what to say. We've talked about being at a loss for words or not knowing what to say going into a situation, and we see God put words or make the words available in so many different situations throughout Scripture. He did it for Moses, he did it for the disciples in Acts, and he still does it for us today. And so last week we talked about God's grace being for us. So God's grace is with us, God's grace is for us. And we talked about Joseph. Remember Joseph, he was young and his dad showed him favor by giving him this coat, and then his brothers kind of sold him into slavery, did that whole thing to him. It was not a pretty sight, but we saw God's grace working for Joseph this whole time. And so the first way, or the first time that God's grace is for us, is when we show forgiveness. When we take a position of forgiveness, we allow God's grace to work in our lives. When we are letting others know that they are forgiven, when we are giving out grace, that allows God's grace to work even more in our lives. Number two is when we invite people in. God's grace is for us when we invite people in. Inviting people into a grace-filled relationship with Jesus is part of our own spiritual growth. Right? It is, I mean, it's, you know, the intent is for us to invite people into relationship with Jesus, but that also helps us grow spiritually as well. When we are out inviting people in, it's not just them that are benefiting. That also fills us. And then number three, God's grace is for us when we are sent. When we are sent, when we are called out and sent. So what if the current season, this is kind of where we finished up last week, what if the current season you're in is preparation for you to be sent out? What if God's, you know, what if God is taking this situation that you're in and working it for the good, just like he did for Joseph? We talked about how easy it is to have faith looking back, right, and seeing what God has done, but how hard it is to move into the future and think, oh, God's got this, when we don't always believe that. But when we think about what God has done, we can know in good faith that God is doing and working ahead of us and that his grace is going before us. So that is where we stopped last week. This week, we're talking about God's grace giving us peace. Have you ever felt peace that could only come from God? Yeah, I have too. And think about this. I'll share my story, but think about this when you're, while I'm sharing mine, this peace that maybe you're in a situation and only, you know, this peace comes over you and you, only God, like this could only be God right now because I am not capable of feeling peace in this moment, right? That's kind of what I'm talking about. So I have felt that kind of peace many times in my life, but one that sticks out very vividly is when I was either 13 or 14. I was going on a mission trip to the Bahamas. I had never flown before. If you want to throw that picture up for me, Rose, I don't know if this freaks any of the rest of you out, but humans, I don't know if you've noticed, we don't have wings, right? Just these arms, they can't get us off the ground. And so naturally, right, you don't want to just jump into this tube with wings and fly across the sky. Now, granted, I've flown countless times since then, no big deal. But your first time, anybody else just that kind of anxiety? Okay, good, I'm not alone. Awesome. It's scary, right? And so I wanted to go on this mission trip with my friends, and I wanted the opportunity. It was, you know, to the Bahamas, right? Why wouldn't you want to go? But the problem was we had to fly to get there, and it was something I'd never done and something that I worried about. So we signed up for this trip, and I was worried on and off, you know, not crazy, but the day of, right, like driving to the airport and all that, oh, terrible. It's a terrible feeling. And then we get there, and I'm just kind of killing time because, you know, obviously when you go by yourself, you know, hour and a half beforehand, no big deal. When you go with a group, you show up ridiculously early, and it's always, you know, it never fails. You're there 3 hours early, and you're waiting for 2 hours and 30 minutes because you all made it through security just fine, and it's, you know, you're just sitting and waiting. So that two and a half hours with my thoughts, you know, and it's just this horrible, you know, thing. You're just killing time and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then, you know, anxiety's creeping up and up. And you think, man, you know, and obviously praying and asking God to calm you. And it's just not happening. And then when I got on the plane, I walked in and I sat down. Never been on an airplane before. Sat down and all of a sudden just this just overwhelming peace. I mean, it all just went away just like that. That's one time that I very vividly remember this peace that could not have come from me, but was an answer to prayer. This was God's grace and mercy giving me peace. And so I don't know if you have a time like that in your life that you can think of or think back to, but keep it in your mind. We'll use it later too. But God's grace brings us peace, and God's peace guards our hearts and our minds through trials. Right? God's grace brings us peace, and God's peace guards our hearts and our minds through trials, through situations. Doesn't mean that we don't have trials. It means that God's grace working in our lives will give us peace to help us get through those trials. So, we're going to talk this morning about Abraham. Abraham was, at the time we're going to talk about him, he was an older gentleman, but he was 99 years old at the time that we're going to jump in at. He had went from Abram, his name was Abram for a long time, and then God made a covenant with him and he changed his name to Abraham. And the covenant was that he was going to multiply him and make him this great nation. And so God promises to give him many descendants. The problem is, when he promises him this, he's like 99 years old, right? That's a weird time to be promised a lot of offspring, but God did it. So we're going to look at Genesis 18, 1 through 14. This is going to be a few big chunks of scripture here, but I think it's very valuable. So we're going to start in verse 1, and you guys can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre. I will say this beforehand. The covenant's already been made. We're picking up where this is where Sarah, his wife, is about to kind of find out that she's also going to be involved in this multiplication process. She's not young either, by the way. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the front of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat. You can be refreshed, and then you go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant, very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried off to the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs," which is about 36 pounds, "of the finest flour and knead it and make some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared, and he set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself and thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really bear a child or have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." So, we're going to talk today about three times that God's grace gives us peace. And we've got this chunk. We'll kind of jump back into their story and then move ahead. But we'll be in Genesis the whole time. So the first one, God's grace gives us peace when we don't expect it. God's grace gives us peace when we don't expect it. It is no secret, right, that Sarah was expecting or wasn't expecting to have a baby in her 90s. I think she was 90 years old on the dot when she was hearing about this. We do have a birthday girl in the house who is a long way away from 90, but That's a weird thing to say to a 90-year-old, isn't it? You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a son this time next year. So when she's 91, going to have a son. I don't know about any of you guys, but not right? No thanks? Is that what I'm hearing? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you're reacting the way Sarah did. Sarah's at least laughing, right? It's crazy. So Sarah, when she hears about this, she laughs, and apparently loud enough that God, in the form of these three visitors out here, says, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And what's really funny is if you go to verse 15, they ask her, and she lies. Oh, I didn't laugh. And they said, oh, yeah, you laughed. She's taken aback by this. She is not expecting it. But what's awesome is this peace that comes over her. She says, so now will I finally have this joy, right? Now that we're all old and tired, I'm finally going to have this joy of having a baby. Lots of times God's grace and peace will catch us off guard or show up when it's least expected. For me, when I was, you know, a young teenager, it was on that airplane when I expected my anxiety to be at top, you know, at peak level, is when God's peace came in and took over. God continues to work miracle after miracle, and the problem with us humans is we continue to be caught off guard, right? Now, we'll read about it in a second, but Abraham was 75 when God called him, right? So it's no secret here that God's doing things, you know, outside of the conventional anyway. So we get miracle after miracle, but we continue to be caught off guard. How would your life change if you started expecting the grace and peace of God to show up? How would your life change if you started expecting God's grace and peace to show up in your lives? The second time that God's grace brings us peace is when we build altars to remember. When we build altars to remember. It's kind of a weird way to say that, but we'll read this passage and it'll make sense. So this is in verse 12, or chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. We're going to go back in time, and you'll notice that Abraham's name is different. This is before the actual covenant promise. This is when God is calling Abram out of his household and to go be this chosen, the start of this chosen people, Israel. So we're going to start in verse 1, go to verse 7. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household into the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Maybe you find yourself in a time, or maybe you've found yourself in a time before where you're in doubt, or maybe your job is on the chopping block, or maybe your relationship's on the rocks, or maybe you've been dealing with sickness or pain or loss or whatever it is. That you found yourself in a time where things were shaky and where you didn't know what was going to happen. And then God kind of shows you or shows up, and for Abraham, it was an appearance. God appeared to him and said, this is the spot. This is the land that I'm going to give to you and your offspring. When we build an altar to praise God, but to show what God has done, it not only helps us remember what God has done, but it brings us peace that he'll do it again. And not only helps us remember this is where and when God did this, but it'll bring us peace that he's going to do it again. So what are some ways that we could build an altar today? Obviously, you can't go stake the land of the Canaanites for your own and then put up an altar there. And, you know, that's not a reality in the world we live in today. But what are some ways that we can build altars of what we've seen or how we've seen God work through a situation? Maybe it's something as simple as putting a note on your dresser or on a mirror, or maybe having something in your wallet so every time you spend money, there's, you know, you're seeing this reminder, or it could be anything, a bracelet, a watch, a hat, whatever. What are some ways that you could build an altar as a reminder? Would, thank you, Austin, you're helpful today. I wondered when that was going to happen. Yeah, testimony. There's all kinds of ways that you could figuratively build an altar and remind yourself of what God has done. So when we build altars to remember, God's grace brings us peace. The third thing that we're going to talk about when God's grace brings us peace is when we give God glory. When we give God glory. So it comes when we least expect it, when we build an altar to remember, but then ultimately when we give that glory back to God, when we praise God for what's happening. So Genesis 21, we're jumping ahead now. So we've seen the promise, then we've seen the calling out, and now we're seeing this fulfillment. This is where Sarah has had Isaac. So chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.'" So, God's grace gives us peace when we give God glory. She says, well, what does she say about God in that passage? God has what? Brought me laughter, right? God has brought me laughter, and I'm going to share this with other people, and they're going to laugh with me as well. And that's not a bad thing she's saying. She's pushing glory back to God. God has brought me this joy, this laughter, and I'm going to tell everyone about this. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought that someone at probably 91 at this point would give birth? But God did it, and I'm going to praise him for it. God's grace steadies us with peace in the midst of trials, storms, and chaos. Now, granted, Abraham and Sarah weren't necessarily in a trial. They were wealthy people. They were being obedient to God, but they wanted kids, right? God had promised this legacy, this great nation, and it just wasn't happening. They were waiting and waiting and waiting, and God steadies them with peace in the midst of the trial, the storm, the chaos. How could we not pass glory on to God? Right? How can we pray for something to happen, be in the midst of a trial or a storm or a season that is rough, and God's grace and mercy comes in and brings peace to the situation, and then how could we not praise God for that? What would we be if we just, oh man, great, it worked out. I must be doing something right and moved on. That's not what we need to do. God's grace steadies us with peace. We need to pass the glory on to God. We should be praising and recognizing God when his grace and his peace and his mercy steadies us in the storm. So, as we end today, as we head toward Palm Sunday and toward Easter, I just want to challenge you to not let this opportunity pass. I know we've had a busy couple weeks leading into this. We've had baby dedication, annual meeting. Last week was baptism. We've not really had a chance to respond to this message of grace. So as we head toward Palm Sunday and Easter, don't let this opportunity to be transformed by God's grace pass you by. God's grace is with us, even when we have questions, even when we don't believe, even when we don't have the words. God's grace is for us, even when we show forgiveness, when we invite people in, and when we are called and sent. And God's grace gives us peace when we don't expect it, when we build altars to remember, and when we give glory to God. Will you allow God's grace to work and transform and make a real difference in your life this week? Would you pray with me this morning? God, we just thank you for your grace. Thank you for these stories, Moses and Joseph and Abraham, and the ways that it's documented that you have worked in the lives of your people. And God, we know you. We know this is the authority and this is your word, but we know you're not bound to that, and you work outside of that in our lives every day. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercies and ultimately your peace that comes with that. God, we thank you for those moments in time where we were in the midst of a storm and you brought us peace that could only come from you. God, help us to build altars, to remember those times. We're so quick to forget. Our short-term memory kicks in and we forget what you've done, and we again don't expect you to show up, and you keep doing it. Help us to build altars to remember that. And God, when you do a work in our lives, when you make a change in our lives and people start asking questions about why we're different and how we're different and where is this peace coming from, that we would pass glory back to you. Help us to do these three things better. Help us to expect your grace and mercy. Help us to build altars and help us to pass glory back to you. Father, we just love you and praise you. We just want to be more like you. We want to live lives that bring you glory. And ultimately, we want to experience more of your grace and mercy and peace in our lives. We need your help to do that this week. God, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band's going to play this morning. You guys are welcome to stand and sing with them. Our altars here are always open. I know we've not had a chance to respond the last couple weeks, but if you feel like God's been stirring or doing something within you or speaking to you and you need to respond to that in prayer, you can do that at your seats, but the altars are a great place to come and just proclaim that this morning. So if you would just use this time to reflect and really just listen, pray, and worship. Just stand and sing with us.